Welcome back to Table Talk. Pull your chair back up to the table. Have a seat. Greta Vosper, ordained in the Canadian United Church in 1993, began doubting the truths of Christianity. We talked about this in the first half of this program. This article doesn't say specifically whether she began to doubt and then deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet, isn't it interesting, Brent, how in our study of 1 Corinthians, we move on from the end of 14, which was dealing with women are not permitted by the Lord to be pastors, and it goes right into chapter 15 with the resurrection. Listen to these opening words. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." When you empty God's word of its authority, its truth, of its divine origin, well, then your belief is in vain.
Right.
To deny the resurrection is to deny the Lord who was raised to life again.
For you and for your salvation.
You. Yeah, this is the gospel. Salvation is at stake.
Well, you said the gospel. That's why it says in verse 3, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." And here's the gospel now. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, etc. So he sounds like the Apostles' Creed there, doesn't it? Died for our sins, buried, and then raised on the third day. Got a creed going on there. You got a confession of the faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a sidebar, but nonetheless.
But notice, of first importance. And of first importance is that the Christ whom we have is the Savior of sinners.
Yeah.
That's the gospel.
Yes. Yes. Well, Paul had to deal with people who, you know, you thought a pastor denying God, the existence of God, and being an atheist was shocking. Well, go to Corinth in Paul's day. You've got Christians at Corinth who deny the resurrection of the body. And Paul has to say, well, look, if there's no resurrection of the body, then Christ wasn't raised from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, well, you're still in your sins. And guess where that's going to leave you? I think as Dr. Luther in his Galatians commentary said something to this effect, that your salvation depends on Christ taking your sins and burying them. And then, of course, burying them in the black hole of his tomb and then rising from the dead on the third day for our justification.
And if he doesn't take them,
then you'll have to carry them.
Then you're left with them.
That's right.
Then
well, good
you'll
luck
have
with
to
that.
Deal with them.
Yeah, that didn't end well.
You'll have to take them to the tomb and see if there's a resurrection, because your death does not atone for sin.
That's right.
But Christ does.
Yes.
And that's what the resurrection is. It is the great preaching of the gospel, that your sins have been atoned for. Your sins have been put away from you, and their death is gone. So where there was once death because of sin, there is now life because of Christ's forgiveness.
Yeah. I'm just looking at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15. "If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead?" So in tying this in with our observation of this woman in Canada, well, it's just a no-brainer. You know, the resurrection of Jesus is essential.
I can see Paul saying, how can you claim to be a pastor of the Canadian United Church? How can you claim to be a Christian pastor but believe there is no God? It doesn't make any sense.
This is the tragedy.
Yeah.
And the high pastoral care calls for her repentance so that she can be repented and faithed and brought back into the church, using the office of the keys, the keys that our Lord gave us to use.
If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. It's very interesting. Not just the preaching is empty, your faith is empty. Because the preaching and the object of faith is one and the same. It's Christ died and raised to life again.
Let's push this. If Jesus did not rise from the grave on the third day, then this woman is right. Then there is no God. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus said over and over again that he would suffer, he would be killed, and on the third day, he would rise again. And lo and behold, he did it.
He called his shot and made it?
Yes, he did.
What other false gods ever done that?
None. And by the way, this is why Paul, at the beginning of chapter 15, is like a prosecuting attorney making his case. So let's look again at the end of verse 4, after he says that Jesus, you know, died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then in verse 5, he brings in witnesses. Now, this, and by the way, this is not hearsay. And he doesn't bring witnesses in that live like 300 or 400 years after the fact. These are people who are contemporary.
Right.
That way you know that these are witnesses that are reliable.
Even eyewitnesses.
Exactly, eyewitnesses. And so this is verse 5. He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And verse 7, then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. He brings in the eyewitnesses. Now, again, the point is, I'm going to repeat it. Christ rose from the dead just like he said he would. Therefore, that changes the whole ballgame. He truly is God, and what he promises is true. He says that his Father is our Father. The Heavenly Father sent him so that he could take on flesh and die for the sins of the world and be raised for our justification. And so he is, so in Matthew 28, when he says, now you make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that confesses who God is.
Mm-hmm. So you can take Jesus at his word.
Yeah.
You can live by his word.
Yes.
Well, what's the opposite of that? When you take away his word, when you don't live by his word, and you substitute, then you don't live by his word, because his word gives life.
And again,
your word, your substitutionary word, brings death.
Yeah, I sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Again, if let's use Paul's argument here in 1 Corinthians 15 with the Corinthians who are denying the resurrection and tying it in with our woman again. Again, if the Canadian woman pastor who's the atheist, let me sit back. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then she's right. Then there really isn't any God. Jesus was a hoax, mm-hmm. a fraud. But just the opposite has happened. And really, that's what we need to tell her. We need to say, look, have you found the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ buried in that grave? No, they're not there. In fact, there were eyewitnesses that saw him. He really did rise from the dead. That changes the whole game. That's a game changer. And we need to tell her that. And folks, any of you, if you're listening and you live in Canada, or if you have any contact with this woman, I beg you, go talk to her about this so that she can be repented in faith.
It's ironic what you, well, not ironic, but what you said. So I'm jumping back up to 14 again. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. And that's what you're saying, you know. If Christ has not been raised, this woman is right.
Yeah.
We're misrepresenting God.
But Paul even push it even further. Read verse 17.
Did we read 16? Yep, 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied.
And then comes the but. Paul puts his butt into the whole argument in verse 20.
Or like B-U-T. I like to say, the now kids, here comes the big but. Oh, snicker, snicker, snicker.
Go ahead, read it. Verse 20.
Well, I just, you're still in your sins. Once again, what kind of Christ do you have? Who is the Christ? He's the Savior of sinners. You absent Christ or your sins from Christ? Then you have a whole different Christ, a whole different God, not the Savior of sinners.
Yeah.
Okay, the big but, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits language. That's interesting, isn't it? That's Old Testament language.
Yes, yes.
The feast of the first fruits.
Yes.
you would bring in the harvest and offer a portion as a sacrifice. And that was in thanksgiving to what God had given to you.
And it was the first fruits of it, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yes. It's the first truckload out of the combine, okay?
Yeah.
But so it's not only in thanksgiving for what God has given to you, but it's also the thanksgiving which flows from faith that God provides even more.
Right.
So when Christ is the first fruits of those raised from the dead, there's more harvesting to come. There are more resurrections yet to come.
Yeah, yours and mine.
And mine, yeah. All who are in Christ, yes, by faith.
Yes. That's so helpful for us and so comforting. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and that has immense salvific meaning for you. It means that death does not have the last word. The grave does not have the last word. Jesus does.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Lord, and he's spoken. You know, in fact, he's had the last word in John, it's chapter 11, I believe, when he stands at the grave, or right before he gets to the grave, and he tells Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. You believe in me, even though you die, you will live. And if you live and you believe in me, even though you die, you're still going to live." And he says that as he's going to go to the grave of his dead friend, his body is stinking 4 days in.
Well, and he alluded to this earlier. When he waits and doesn't rush right away when he hears that Lazarus is sick. This
right.
will end in glory.
Yeah.
See, the glory of God is to raise dead sinners to life.
Keep in mind that, just a sidebar here, but in John's gospel, you know, John's very concerned to show that we are to believe in Jesus Christ. And in John 11, there's a crisis of faith. In fact, I would submit, if you read it carefully in John 11, Jesus does not weep because Lazarus has died, his best friend has died. I don't think that's why he weeps. I think if you read it carefully, he weeps because there are people there who don't believe in him.
Yeah. Yes. I agree with you.
That's why he lets off with that prayer. Well, Father, I said all these things, you know, so that they may know that you sent me. You
right.
know. Because you have people, you have mockers there who mock him and say, well, gee, he healed the blind man. How come he didn't do anything for poor sap Lazarus? See, he's a fraud. We all knew it.
Yep. His preaching is in vain.
And however, at the end of the story, there were many of the Jews who were there and saw what had happened, and they believed in him. And so Lazarus, of course, that poor sap, God, the Lord Jesus used him as an object lesson to show that he truly is the resurrection of life, which is to say that the last days, the end of time stuff, has come in Jesus Christ, and his words do and give what they say. Lazarus, get up. Come out. And he does. He's risen. That's a preview of what's going to happen on Resurrection Day for all of us.
Got Jesus, then you got resurrection and life. And we see that with Lazarus. And so the same is true for you folks. Got Jesus, then you have resurrection and life. You don't see it yet, but it's yours, and it will be seen.
And these bodies that will be raised will be, as Paul says, Paul says it elsewhere, not here in 1 Corinthians. John says it, that it will be like our Lord's. Okay? That our bodies will be like his in Resurrection Day. Paul describes it in other ways, immortal, incorruptible, etc. here in chapter 15. We don't know what that's like. And just quickly, in about a second, at the end of chapter 15, Paul gets in death's face and says, "Where's your victory?" And then he kind of laughs and says, You don't have any. Jesus does."
Yeah, your stinger has been plucked off of you. The sting of death is gone. It's been soothed in the balm of Christ's death. And his resurrection now lords over all things, sin and death. Well, folks, happy trusting in Jesus for the resurrection of your body and the life everlasting.